Hi-Fi Dream, it's a deep dive. We wrapped up another little set there with Public Memory. That's the name of the artist, Echo, E-C-C-O, if you're going to search for it. It's not like Echo with an H. E-C-C-O, Echo. That was from 2017. Before that, artist that surely was on Public Memory's short list of inspirations, I would guarantee you, because I think any group that makes electronic music or ambient, like, down tempo or whatever, had listened to every Portishead record, but The Rip was before it from 2008, which is like the last real full album that Portishead put out of original material. Let's talk about Public Memory. What did you think, besides now putting in my head that it looks like Public Enemy?
I can't get that.
I almost said it. I almost just said it.
Public Memory, Public Enemy. But the sound, though, is not Public Enemy. The sound is a great follow-up to The Rip, because The Rip gets such like this huge ending, and it's like an apocalypse. But then this song, to me, I get this imagery of post-apocalyptic. And the reason is because of the sample that they use, or the sound of these like chimes. And to me, it sounds like empty glass bottles hanging on strings all bunched together and blowing in the breeze, which is like one of the images I think of in movies like The Terminator, you know, after the bomb is dropped and everything's wasted and there's like little shanty towns and huts set up, people, the survivors, they've got things hanging and the breeze is blowing, but there's nothing else to
stop.
You
gotta watch the show From, if you've never heard of it.
Is it
From
like that?
And what you just described is almost exact. Continue, please.
So but that's the sound. It's like these little glass bottles chiming against each other that I hear, and so it puts me in this place, this song, and the vocals come in. They're like these kind of soulful reverb, and it's like witches like casting a spell the way the vocals are. But then you hear these like little sleigh bells, like Christmas time, here and there.
You're like, oh, it's Christmas, okay. It's not as dark as I thought.
Or maybe it's the nuclear winter, right? And but then you hear like these fade-ins of some arpeggios, which is kind of a staple of electronic music, but it just come in and out. And I thought it's a great like mood. And the you mentioned that it sounds really good in the headphones, and I agree. There's a lot of production there.
You said it. You nailed it, because it takes you somewhere. I think that's really, like, the Portishead song is like an all-time song. Like, if you're talking about something that, like, sonically, what it represents to people who love, like, specific kinds of music, especially of our generation or like, whatever, it's very important. But, like, that song, Public Memory, Echo, there's a mood to it. There's an aura that I love. And I kind of don't know what I'm feeling and what she's singing about or he's singing about. I don't know. I kind of just feel like it takes me somewhere and I'm just going to kind of go wherever it's going. I'm not trying to like fit it to anything. I'm not trying to make it too dark or too light. It's more like a dream. And I like the dreamlike quality of it, which is, again, these are the types of artists I think that really fit nicely between all of the pieces on Hi-Fi Dream. It kind of gives you this, I guess it sets a mood and allows you to kind of follow it. And then some moments are going to be brighter, a little different, maybe poppier, but you got to have that underlying dream, that dreamy atmospheric. And that song brings that Eno-esque production to it, and I like that. So
totally agree.
This is
totally
a great example because of the song we're going to, Willis, because Public Memory is electronic and sort of mid-tempo, not totally down, dark, even a little vapor wavy at times, but this goes into a 90s like techno house, you know, classic that also gets into the mix of Hi-Fi Dream. So I think this is a really cool little step forward.
This, the fourth song in my playlist is always,
this is the one for you.
It's the pick, and the electronic techno sound, techno, like techno house music, is a big part of my rave period when I was going to a lot of raves. And I've talked about this a couple times on the show. And back in the 90s, early 90s, I was staying, I was in the area here, and The college radio station KFJC had a, still has actually either an archive or the DJ. Her name is Belladonna. She goes by the name Belladonna, playing house techno music on Saturday nights. And I would catch this show and one time, and I heard this song, and I didn't know what it was. She didn't back announce or announce what it was. And it blew my mind as far as the futuristic techno sound that I was hearing. But it also had this groove to it that was very addictive. And it changed. The song changed. So I thought she was mixing song to song because the song goes through different phases and different styles. And then the styles kind of mix in and out. So it's like very seamless. Even though the styles of these different parts of the song are very different, it's very well blended. And so I was like, wow, this DJ is amazing. And I was just, and I turned on my tape recorder, and I recorded this part of the song from her show. And I've always had this tape, this DJ Belladonna tape, and I never knew what the song was until now. I saw the, I was looking up, through my rave flyers and said, oh, here's a band, or they're Bizarre Inc. is the name of the artist. They're playing live at the out in the field, you know. And this was back in the 90s that they handed out these rave flyers, very colorful, and said who's playing, who's the lineup, who the DJs, etc. Here's the number to call. So Bizarre Inc., I'm like, huh. And so I looked up Bizarre Inc. just last week, and this song, Playing with Knives, is the song that I had on my tape, and it's just one song. It's called The Quadrant Mix, but it kind of...
And I would imagine that the mix you thought she made was actually in the song, right? Is that true?
This Quadrant Mix is the song that she played, so...
No, I meant like in this... You know, you said that there was a seamless kind of mix of styles as she brought it together. Was it mid... You talking her transition, or was it... Because in this song, there's also a transition of styles.
So what I'm saying is that she played this very song. And so I thought it was multiple songs being mixed together.
Right. Yes.
But actually, this is a produced song.
Actually, yeah. All right. Because I totally knew that you meant that. I remember in this mix, because I used to love this 12-inch. This I was mentioning to you, I'm Gonna Get You was a big hit. It actually was on the radio as like a top 40 song.
Was it?
Yeah, it kind of crossed over into the mainstream radio world, I'm Gonna Get You.
Wow.
But it was still respected in the clubs and not like a sellout song.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It wasn't like disregarded because it became kind of popular, like usually happens with cultural stuff. Or I should say, you know, pop culture, counterculture. But this was like the deep track, but it was also what you would hear if you went to clubs. This was what they were playing. And it was so powerful on a loud club system when you're surrounded by subwoofers and speakers. And I remember how good it, I don't know if you'll understand how great it sounded in a club by hearing it, you know, through whatever speakers you're listening, but good headphones will capture it for sure. Or your car, I would say, maybe not through your phone speaker, but like some people I know listen. I'm like, how are you listening to this song? And they're like, it's fine. I'm like, how? You're missing 90% of the music listening through your phone.
It's true.
I guess if you have no choice, it's whatever. But all right,
We have the benefit. I have the benefit of being able to listen to all these songs at least five different ways. And I think it's really important to do that, because at least as a curator, because it's going to sound different for different people depending on how they're listening. And I can definitely guarantee most of the songs that you and I both pick, they sound well on most platforms and equipment. But I agree that a song like this, like a dance specific song, sounds better with a really good system and a lot of deep bass. And this song in particular goes like it swings from like soulful to straight techno and more synthy, and there's not a lot of lyrics there, which I would say is the downside of putting a song like this on the deep dive. Like, and usually we play songs with lyrics, but I really had to play this to tell the story, And it's just learning that this is just one song and not a bunch of songs was my revelation.
It's interesting because you round out the show with two songs from a very specific period of like dance, techno, rave culture, and like almost garage, what they call UK garage music from back in the late 80s, early 90s. You'll hear that in the next song you play too. But I think one of the big notes on playing with Knives by Bizarre Inc. is that, again, if this song was made today, the compression would make the beat sound different. There's a lot of space in this. So like it's not exhausting to listen to it. So the instrumental element of it is like highly listenable, even though it's techno and noisy at times. There's a lot of space in the song, which I think you'll notice more if you listen to dance music from the 90s that compared to like a lot of electronic music now, which is a lot of four on the floor, like compression. So This is cool. This followed up by a group called Orbit, which kind of new, but he's doing really well. Like I think he might be like a well-known artist soon. But we'll talk about it when we come back. First, Bizarre Inc., the deep dive on Hi-Fi Dream.
Hi-Fi Dreams Deep Dive.
Dream the Deep Dive, coming out of a band called, or an artist called Orbit. The song is called You, just came out, new release. I heard it. I was going through all the new music for the, at the beginning of the week, as I usually do, to see if there's anything like really underground. This popped up. I immediately liked it. I was surprised to see he had a bunch of followers and a lot of views on the song, even though it was freshly released. But I was really into what I was hearing. I'll let you talk about that in a second. Before that was Bizarre Inc. That was Willis's pick, Playing With Knives, the Quadrant mix, which I believe is actually the mix that's on their, on the album that they put out in 92. But let's talk about what your some of your thoughts on that set.
I thought it was it's great to put in a new release, right, on the show. And this one from Orbit was a good example that you said, and I agree, is of the categories that we... that I came up with to classify songs that I hear on Hi-Fi Dream is like, the acronym is DABEST, D-A-B-E-S-T. We got dreamy, atmospheric, beat-centric, electronic, soulful, trippy. Those are all the different categories of sounds that you hear in some of the music on Hi-Fi Dream. And this song from Orbit definitely fills a lot of those categories. And I thought that it sounded great on speakers that have like a really good low end because there's a lot of bass, and also a high end because there's a lot of treble and mid-range too. So I think good speakers all around would be good for this song. And there's just a solid production level, and I think songwriting from this looks like a young artist from Germany. Seems very ambitious. Like, I went to his website. I'll put a link to his website on the playlist, because the name Orbit, if you go to try to Google that, you're not going to find
him. Thespec.com. Thespec.com is what he's saying, right?
Yes, so I'll put the playlist on thespec.com/deepdive. And from there, you'll see a link to the band Orbit, which has his website and show his touring schedule. He's like touring Europe right now. His name is Marcel Hayim. So I'd never heard of him. So thank you for sharing this. And I think looks like he's got a good following of about 500,000 monthly listeners on Spotify and gaining traction. It's good music.
Yeah, it could be an international type success situation. I'm always happy when I see a young artist that's doing something cool. So many times the opposite happens. And I'll tell you, just quick aside, each week when I'm looking for new music, there's certain people I know that are like independent promoters. So they only promote independent music, and they put up like videos on song clips on YouTube every week. They have a channel, they have a Spotify, they have all the different whatever. I go to YouTube and they just put up videos almost all the time. Every couple of days you'll get like a batch of videos, and it's always the lesser known artists. Very rarely do you get something that's like above a certain level of fame. But occasionally you'll get like a Tame Impala song when it's new. But I was really I've been impressed by some of the stuff I'm finding, and then I go to like check on the artists to see how they're doing as I'm playing them for like week, 2 week, 3 weeks. So I could kind of monitor which songs to keep playing heavier, so sometimes instead of just getting rid of them, I'll have a category where I just kind of rotate a lot of those songs that weren't popular, but are still good and should be heard. And somebody might hear and be like, I love this. This is my next favorite artist ever, you know? So those types of artists I feel so bad about, but I want to keep them here, keep them on the channel because they're important. And a lot of times I get sad when I go look and I'm like, man, like really? Like 500 people have listened to this after so long, you know? So when I see one and I look and I see it's 100,000, I'm like, oh, awesome. And the next time I look, it's 500,000. I'm like, all right, this is legitimately taking off, you know? And then once a video gets to 1 million views or beyond for me and this channel, that's a lot. That's like a power kind of like well-known for us, you know?
Yeah.
And it's exciting. It's saying this kind of an artist I feel might break the barrier and kind of do well for themselves.
He seems genuine too. Going to the website and reading he's kind of keeping a blog for the last 4 years of how things have just taken off and how the work that he's done, and he involves his friends, you know, and to make the videos. Cool. And so it sounds like it's like a good story that he's building, and he seems very genuine that way. So I'm happy that he's getting some traction.
Thank you for doing that research for me. Last set of music. So this is a retro set. We didn't do a ton of new today. I think that Orbit song and the Public Memory song kind of more recent, but this is like sort of a good idea of what you and I were listening to in our youth, in the 90s at least. This Moloko track, I think, was like signature tune for that era. So different versions of it, whatever one you might like. And we just had a discussion about that off air. Talk about Sing It Back.
So Moloko is kind of new to me. And even though this song is from 1998, I guess I wasn't listening. I missed this one. And only recently have I learned of Moloko. And I think I've chosen
your girl,
Roisin Murphy. Right. I've definitely chosen songs from her solo work. She's got this soulful vocal sound.
Yeah, like Lisa Stansfield almost. It's like,
yeah,
or, you know, that kind of soul.
Exactly.
Sorry. I mean to cut.
But she's also kind of funky too. She's got like she can get pretty funky, and even just her range when she stretches a note. So this song, "Sing It Back," I think it is fairly well known, is because I've heard, like a disco version of this song. So this song that I chose, though, it's the "Sing It Back," is I guess it's more the original version from the album. You say.
Yeah, this is the album version.
So it's not just it's not just a dance song. This is a song meant to be listened to because it's got a very unique beat and rhythm. And the sound of the rhythm, to me, sounds like hitting on like a steel box, the way it resonates. And I love that. And with her soulful vocals. And the song seems like it's trying to get somewhere and never does, but I like that too. So it's not a typical dance song structure, in my opinion. So that's why I liked it.
The end part definitely builds more, and you get more of a little more of it's because the song, the hit version that was on the radio, had a little bit of a garage vibe mixed with, well, I say garage, UK garage is a certain kind of like electronic music, but it also had a house vibe. And I always thought it was like interesting when I heard the album version, it was like totally not as rhythmic. It was more of like a artistic piece of music, less of a like short dance song.
That is exactly
but the version I play regularly on hi-fi is more of the like the radio version, the electronic, not the long one, but the single version. And I honestly think you're right about it. I think this one's better. I like this version better. So I was like, let's go with the album version because it gives us a different perspective. But Moloko had some moments, like they were like a legit band. Two of them, but they had a band with them. And I there was some stuff I really liked and some stuff I just could not get with. Sort of how I feel about Roy Sheen Murphy or whatever. Some of it I really like. Some of it, it's like, I feel like I'm listening to Taylor Dane in like a Vegas, you know, tribute club or something, or whatever they call those, like residency.
That's a good call. Yes, I do. I hear that too.
So I have to kind of like separate with a song from who I'm listening to sometimes with her. But I also really like her at the same time. So it's weird. This song though is, you'll hear this in rotation, it's just a different mix. Maybe I should put this mix in and like vary it every now and then. Do you think this version would fit on the regular rotation?
I don't know. To me, it's a special song in that it can feel a little bit harsh because the rhythm kind of changes and it doesn't make you feel
so jagged.
Yeah, jagged is the right word. And but that's why I picked it for the show. So,
all right. Well, that'll be the next song. And then the last song on the show, we won't be back after it. We'll come back next week to talk more, so we won't get to talk about it. Let's talk about this song by a group called Shy. It's called Comforter. I'm going to just make my little piece and I'm going to hand it off to you. I was in high school. And, you know, when you're in high school, you feel like everything in your life is like so important, like you're the center of whatever universe and everything's so like dramatic. And I had girlfriends at that time, you know, and you're giving them mixtapes, and this was definitely a love language for people like Willis and I with you know, old girlfriends, you know, mixtapes, CDs, whatever. We were way into R&B and hip hop in high school because it was so good at that time. It really was. And I mean, a lot of us were into punk and alternative as well. But those two were very closely associated in those days because you were listening to all those artists from you know, Alice in Chains and Smashing Pumpkins and Sonic Youth to Jodeci and Belle Biv DeVoe and Shy. You know, these groups were about to play. So it was a really interesting time for me musically where I was. But this song, Comforter, was like the song for me when it came to R&B music. It was the song because I felt something about what he was singing. It was different. It was just such a different kind of love song. But I listen back now after not hearing it so many times over the last 20 years, it still sounded the same fresh way to me. And it still moved me even after all these years. What did you think of it? What are some of your input here?
So Shy, Shai, I had heard of them actually. Even though, like you said, back in that time in 91, I was way into the alternative college. I was working at the college radio station, so that was my world. I think I strayed a little bit into speed metal for weird reasons.
We all do.
But R&B was not accessible to me because I just wasn't listening to that station. And we didn't play R&B on the college station. We had hip hop, sure, but not R&B like this. Like bands like you said, Jodeci, Bell Biv DeVoe, Guy, Keith Sweat, all the guys from New Edition, the spinoffs. I got exposed to R&B like from these groups from one of my college roommates, Ken. He lived in so I was down in Irvine, and he's from Monterey Park, which is up in central LA. And he would go home for the weekend and hang out with his old friends. And then he'd come back with all this new R&B music from his friends. And they were like party DJs. And so sometimes he'd have mixtapes. But most of the time he'd say, have you heard of this? Listen to this band. He'd pop this CD in. And it was these groups I'd never heard of and I never would have heard of. And it was this sound. This now I think of it as nostalgic. But it's like these deep, slow jam beats, electronic beats with the hi-hats, like combo. And it was very distinctive of the time. But then the vocals, the soulful, like all the guys harmonizing and soul.
A lot of doo-wop in these, man. There's a lot of four or five-part harmonies.
Yeah, and then they kind of like do call and response, right? Like there's a lead singer, and then the backing would come in, and then be like, very breathy. So these definitely, Shy was one of the bands I remember distinctly. But I never bought any of the album myself because I only heard little snippets that Ken would play for me. And that I felt like that was enough exposure. Like I had to focus on my show. I was pulling alternative music, and but I definitely always had an appreciation for the music he brought and shared, because it was good, and it's speaks to your soul, and it exactly. still does today. And
the song
so,
"If I Ever Fall in Love," which was their big hit, it might have even been like number one.
Sure.
I remember it was a cappella. It was just voices, and at that time, it was like really not a thing in any of my youth, like mainstream music being a cappella. It was always the 50s and 60s stuff.
Right.
So it was really interesting. Other than Bobby McFerrin, "Don't Worry, Be Happy," that was like all all voice stuff, like voice instrumentation. This was like really different for us, hearing this kind of street corner sound, and this song though wasn't. This, but you hear those same elements of harmony and background singing and all, which make it beautiful. But you know, you mentioned Jodeci in these groups, Mary J. Blige also at that time. They brought like, unlike the 80s R&B stuff, which New Edition, Billy Ocean, whatever, like all those like sort of love song style.
Luther Vandross,
it was more of a ballads and love songs. This kind of brought a little bit of hip hop, even their style and their
street,
swagger.
Little street.
The speak. So they were heavily respected by the peers that were making hip hop at the time, like the Wu-Tangs of the world and the Tribes, because they were part of the culture. It wasn't like a different world like it was in the 80s, where R&B music was almost adult music. So very cool to see this sort of transitional, because I think R&B is closer to this now. I think it's kind of held on to the 90s aesthetic just enough with the beats and stuff.
It even had like its own fashion, right? There was a look that they had on their album covers.
Yep.
Colorful, large, like maybe still
baggy.
Baggy, maybe still some shoulder pads and stuff. but with the fade flat tops, with the fade cuts, that's definitely an era that visually goes with, to me, the sound.
I dressed a lot like the guys in Shy.
I could picture
if you
that.
Looked at that, like, it was definitely baggy, kind of skate meets hip hop. That was always the style where we were in New Jersey, in North Jersey. It was a sort of a lot of street skate mixed with hip hop styles. So it was a marriage of the two. And listen, these are two songs at the end of the show that are very nostalgic for me. Specifically hearing these songs back to back, because it's a snapshot of a different period of time and in my life specifically. But again, it's really cool to kind of share these things, because I don't think anybody's going to get to hear Comforter. I know DJ Seinfeld, there's a great artist called DJ Seinfeld, does a track that samples this. The whole song is a sample, like chopped up version of this song.
Wow.
But it's weird not, I was going to put that on the show, by the way, but it's weird not hearing the full context of the lyrics. So we're doing this version.
All right. Let's
you go. Ready? Ready to go?
Great show. Great choice on the show.
Thanks so much for everything, Willison. Thanks to everybody for listening. You can find all the playlists and everything from all of our shows at thespec.com/deepdive. And we'll be back next week, 10 a.m. Sunday morning, and then repeat 10 p.m. Monday night. This is Moloko, Sing It Back, followed by Comforter, a song by a band called Shy, the Hi-Fi Dream Deep Dive.
When you are ready, I will surrender. Take me and do as you will. Have what you want, your way's always the best way. I have succumbed to this passive sensation, peacefully falling away. I am the zombie, your wish will command me, live as I fall to my knees. Control this empty delusion, lost in the fire below. And you come running, your eyes will be open. And when you come back, I'll be as you want me, only so eager to please. My little song will keep you beside me, thinking your name as I sing.
Sing it back to me. Sing it back to me.
No, you can't help it if you have been tempted by fruit hanging ripe on the tree. And I feel useless, don't care what the truth is. You will be here come the day. Truth, do you hear me? Don't try to come near me. So tired I sleep through the light. If you desire to lay here beside me, come to my sweet melody.
My dreams deep dive. as for the